Christmas season comes, and as it comes, we begin to get ready because there are a lot of things that happen for us during this time of year. We have all different types of traditions, don't we? We could go around the room, we could talk about some of the traditions that you anticipate, that you're looking forward to. Traditions, there's decorations, we've got all kinds of gifts and gift-giving traditions, as well as gatherings that we're looking forward to. You know, one of the things of the Christmas season that I do enjoy is it gives me a chance, this to tell you how old I am, gives me a chance to go down to my closet and pull out the old DVDs of Christmas movies. I could go out to my garage and pull out the old VHS movies of them as well, but I've got them all out there. But yeah, who plays DVDs anymore? I mean, doesn't everyone stream? But I've got these movies in my closet. I got to play them. You know, some of them are great Christmas movies. Anyone here have a favorite Christmas movie? Pam. Elf. Okay, Elf. Now, that was a wonderful movie, recent movie. What'd you say, Lori? Muppet Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life. Now, there's some diversity. But Lori has this wide breadth of movie love, so I can understand that that would be the case. Yes, Carrie. Home Alone. Okay, we have many Home Alone fans. All right. Well, I'll tell you one of mine. I've got a handful, and like Lori, they're not really all that diverse, but that's okay. Not as diverse as hers. But one of my favorite Christmas movies is one that came out a number of years ago, back in 1983. It was called A Christmas Story. This story. Oh, you got the line down, Scott. Yes. Of course, for those who don't know, it's the story of a little boy named Ralphie Parker who grew up back in the 40s, and he's remembering back on his idyllic Christmas experience, the best Christmas ever. And why was it the best Christmas ever? Because he got the best Christmas gift ever. Of course, y'all know what it was. It was the Red Ryder Carbine Action 200-shot range model air rifle. That's what Ralphie wanted. Red Ryder, yes. And that's what he wanted. And the whole point of the movie, as it went through, of course, everyone told him he couldn't get that gift. Why? Yes, you guys know the story. You'll shoot your eye out. But as the story concludes and his fond memories of that perfect Christmas conclude, he does get that gift, that Red Ryder BB gun that he wanted so desperately. That was the gift that kind of marked that era. Now, if we think back, not just in movies, but in our own lives, we think back, there have been a number of times in our lives we remember something very fondly. Maybe it's even a Christmas that was really set apart from the others because of that really special gift that you got. You know, maybe it wasn't the Red Ryder Carbine Action 200-shot range model air rifle. Maybe that's not what you wanted. But there was something that you were able to get because that was just the perfect gift for that particular Christmas. Well, today we're going to be talking about, and as we move through this series, as we move closer to Christmas, we'll be talking about gifts. We'll be talking about those gifts that God has given to us at Christmas. That we'll be talking about what does it mean for us, not like Ralphie Parker and his Red Ryder BB gun, but when we receive these gifts, how does that create for us the best Christmas ever for us? Because I think that's what we're going to find as we move through this season. That God has already given us all that we have need for to give us the very best Christmas ever. And I'm looking forward to that as we move through this season. Today we're going to be looking, because again, for us today, we're going to be talking about not gifts like Red Ryder BB guns, but in a world that's marked by all the divisions and hurts and angers and fear, frustrations, all the insecurities and all the uncertainties that we're dealing with, we're going to be looking at the theme of our day today, which is God's hope for us. And we'll be looking at two particular invitations to hope and through hope that we're going to be looking at today. It says this is what's going to help separate this year, if we live this out, separate this year from the others, and make this the best Christmas ever. So, and what do you think? I think, again, maybe if I could offer you a Red Ryder BB gun, or I could offer you hope, how many would take the BB gun? There's a few of you, I know. But seriously, in this world that we have, when people are facing all kinds of loss, when they're dealing with disappointment, when we're struggling with difficulties and anxieties and all the other stuff that goes into our existence, to be able to say that we have something for the world because God has given it to us, and that is the gift of hope. What an answer you and I might be for the world around us. And so we're going to turn today to our... before we turn to the scripture, I'll go to the scripture in just a moment. There is a, I'm a little bit off topic here, and that's okay. There's a song, actually it's on the radio, if you listen to Christian music, it is a profound and a beautiful song. It opens up, it's written by Chris Tomlin, it's called Is He Worthy? And the song opens up with a series of questions that are responded to by an affirmative, "We do." The song opens up with this question: do you feel the world is broken? And the answer, of course, is we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. There is something deeply season of Advent about the opening of that song, that into a world filled with darkness, a light has come. And in that light is the light of life. That's what the Gospel of John tells us. And in the light of life is something that says he is bringing about something new. And it is that hope that we have at the heart of Advent and this gift of Christmas. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah was speaking to a people who were surrounded by darkness. The storm clouds were darkening and growing. The Assyrian threat was all around them. Their neighbor to the north, the people of Judah, the neighbor to the north, Israel, had already fallen, and the Assyrians had dragged them off and never to return. They could see their end coming as well, but Isaiah could also see what God was doing in the midst of it all. So even in the midst of this time of darkness, Isaiah spoke these words: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness. And again, we could fill the gap here. What does that look like? In Isaiah's day, it had to do with international politics and the threat of war, which was about to come upon his nation. They had seen their neighbors being overrun and slaughtered and dragged away. They could see that that was likely going to be their experience as well. This was a time of deep darkness. Now, maybe for us, we're not facing anything quite that dire, but we've all got stuff in our life that causes us to feel that sense of darkness. We all have stuff in our life that makes us yearn for seeing it made new. On those living in the land of deep darkness, Isaiah says, a light has dawned. Now, this is about 600 or 700 years before the coming of Christ. Exactly what that light looked like for someone living in Judah at that time, I don't really know. Isaiah could see it, though most could not. That God was not finished with them yet. Though they were living through a desperate time, God was not finished with them yet because God had not left them. God was still present. His goodness was still there in the midst of their life. That even while everything else around them seemed to be falling apart, there was still hope to be had, and Isaiah spoke it out. The New Testament, again, written years later, would pick up back on this same theme. Gospel of John. John picks up on this very same theme that Isaiah draws for us, that this light was coming. You know how the Gospel of John opens up. He begins with this idea of in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all this wonderful thing beginning to tell us about how Jesus was about to come into the world. And in verse 9, he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I don't think it's by accident that John says that almost the same thing that Isaiah had said 700 years previously. That for the people of Isaiah's day and for all those who would follow, when they felt that darkness, Isaiah said, there's a light coming. And John would say, it is now here because of the birth of Jesus. There is something about this that begins to give us hope. Hope for us that because Jesus has come, what difference does it make? Folks, when we look at the struggles that we have, when the feelings that we wrestle with, when we wrestle with our lives, when we think, hey, I've got a chance now, hope that my sins can be forgiven because Jesus has come. Hopes that my hurts might be healed because Jesus has come. Hope that death can be overcome because Jesus has come. This is big news. When Isaiah says, the light has dawned, this is what he's talking about. That for all of us, stuck on this planet at this time, we have something that we can look forward to so much better than what we have now because Jesus has come. We have something that we can look forward to. And as I get older, I know some of you are probably in the same boat. Maybe some of you are getting older too. Okay, I know you're all getting older. That's fine. That's how it works. That's right. You may not want to admit it, but that's how it works. Okay. But we are invited to that, to recognize that in this world, though it's filled with struggles, we have a hope that gets us through. This is the perspective that gives us context for our life. So when we do face struggles, we have a larger context that we're not overwhelmed by it. And it's easy to get overwhelmed by the status of the world. In John 16, again, sticking with the Gospel of John, Jesus said these words, that I have that told you these things so that in me you might have peace. Now in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Friends, I don't know what kind of trouble you're walking through. I don't know what kind of trouble you fear might be coming down the way. I don't know what kind of thing might be happening in and around your life, and the devil's whispering in your ear, it will never change. It's going to be stuck this way forever. I don't know what that is that's going on for you, but I know this. Jesus says these words, take heart, because I have overcome the world. And we are invited to see the world through this lens of hope, that there is something better yet to come for us. Not only has Jesus overcome this world, but he's opened the door for the next. And that needs to be part of what we look forward to when it comes to the season of Advent. Something that says, what I see in this world is only a small piece of what God has for me. And he's got something far bigger, and I can look forward to that even as I'm doing what he has prepared and purposed me for here. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, said this about hope. It's actually a long quote, but I'll walk it through. That hope is one of the theological virtues, Lewis said. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things that the Christian is meant to do. Hear this. What Lewis is saying is that by looking forward and knowing that there is more to life than what we can see and experience here, there's more to it. When we can see with that larger perspective, it actually fuels us and empowers us to be the light and the witness and the hope in the broken world we live in. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is, For if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. You see, again, it's about perspective. When we get so locked into the present, to the struggle, to the how bad it might be right now, without that sense of what God may be doing or how God's going to work through it or seeing the end result in eternity that God has for us, when we get stuck here, we get overwhelmed and we do nothing. But as we see, again, our part in this story as God continues to weave it, and it's a big story that we have a small part in, then we can actually do big things as part of his larger plan. So we are invited. I said there would be two invitations. The first one is this. We are invited to choose hope. To stop believing the lies that things will never change, to choose instead to find hope in the promises that God has for you and me, to choose to believe that Jesus' birth that we celebrate here. Remember, that's what Christmas is about, folks. That Jesus' birth coming into this world and all that he would do for us changes everything. We need to be people who believe that it changes everything, and because it changes everything, we can choose hope. That each day we can be either defeated by the darkness around us, or we can be encouraged by the light of Christ in the midst of our difficulty. This becomes our choice, the invitation that God opens for us. And it's not just that choice. There's a second invitation which is coming, and it's going to be right here. We're going to find it in Matthew's gospel where Jesus speaks these words to you. He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Two little analogies here. So he says, so in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is invitation number two. Not only are we invited to choose hope for ourselves, but we are invited to share hope. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light that comes into the darkness. And Jesus says, you who have received that light are now also what? Light of the world. Friends, as you go about the business of being December people and Christmas shoppers and all the rest, we are invited to be those who bear the light of the world to those around us. We're invited to share hope. Jose did a great job talking about some of the great ways that we're sharing hope already. For those who took part in the shoebox this last week, is that not sharing hope with those who might not have hope? We need to be praying for those boxes as they go, praying for those kids who will receive them. The 100 that we sent, but the thousands, probably millions, I don't know, across the nation that were sent all around. It's Friday night. Tell me, do you think that sharing a little bit of the food that Sean's going to prepare might be hope to someone who needs hope? Finding someone who's in a place of being homeless, finding shelter at the D Street, finding it there and finding a place of people who not only prepare food, but care enough to go and look them eye to eye and talk about this hope we have. Is that sharing hope? It is. How do we share hope? Maybe you know somebody who needs to feel the connection because coming out of this season of isolation has done just horrible things to the mental health of our community. If you're a woman, here, there's an idea. Invite that person who's been isolated to come with you to the Women's Ornament Exchange next week. Could that not be hope for them? How do we know what might be a sense of feeling that inclusion might begin to spring something out of someone who has been parched for the sense of community that we've all been cut off from? No, we need to find ways to share this hope. Maybe with those who are closest to you, your friends, your coworkers, family members. Maybe it's the person who makes your coffee if you have a traditional going to the coffee to get it every day. Maybe it's someone in your doctor's office that has been dealing with rude people all day on the phone, and you go in and you give them a little bit of grace that day. If you're running low on hope, if you're feeling like your light isn't shining very bright, maybe not as bright as it once did, then we're going to pray for you today, because we all need to feel that light of Christ beginning to break back in, and that light of Christ then breaking forth out of us, because this is the hope that Christmas embodies for us. Okay, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pray. But especially if this morning it feels like hope is far away, as you bow your heads, as we pray together, know that this prayer is specifically for you. And if you're already going through your mind about people that you're going to be able to share with, because God is already beginning to open your eyes to those around who are living in darkness, maybe they're your neighbor, maybe they're that person at work, maybe they're that person on Friday night that you don't even know yet, but you're going to go visit because you've made a decision to go to the D Street shelter. Find somebody, allow God's Spirit to begin to open up. How is He going to use you to be His light of hope for them? Father, we thank You for this morning, and what a blessing it is that once again to be together in the presence of one another, but even more, Father, to rest and to quiet our minds and hearts for a few moments, to allow Your Word to penetrate and the reality of Your presence and hope to begin to experience rebirth in us. Father, for each and every one who this morning struggles because of the difficulty that seems overwhelming to them, that circumstance that seems to be unending, that void or that hole or that grief which seems not to be ever be healed completely. Father, I pray that You would meet us in that place of that difficulty that we wrestle with. Would meet us in the place of that darkness that we experience. And in small ways, just whisper to us of Your goodness and the hope that You have for us. Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for His life that we are preparing to receive yet again and celebrate before family and friends. Father, I pray that reality of Jesus dwelling in our hearts, opening up not only for possibilities here, but for all You hold for us in the future. We thank You for it, and we pray that You would hold us and help us and heal us. And God, for those around us that even now Your Spirit is guiding us to consider, God, how it is that we might be a light to them, how we might be an encouragement to them, how it is that we might bring hope into their darkness. We thank You, God, that You have deemed us worthy to be bearers of Your light. God, help us to carry it forward into this world, that indeed it would be the very best Christmas ever. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.